This summer has been the summer of breaking free here at Florida Bible. If you're a guest, we've been trying to really own, we've been trying to conform our lives to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul declares that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we each week have reminded ourselves that that starts with eternal freedom. When we trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, when we allow him to pay our sin debt with his sacrifice on the cross. But Jesus didn't die just that we might have eternal freedom. Jesus also said, I have come that you may have life and life to the fullest. Paul also warns us, though, that from time to time, we have a tendency to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In other words, we have a tendency to re-enslave ourselves in some of the dysfunctional behaviors of life that Jesus set us free from. Today, we're going to be talking about breaking free from tough times. You know, tough times can have a crippling effect on us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Tough times, if not managed correctly, and if we don't strive to break free from their grip, they can really take us down quick. They can discourage us, and they can even knock us out of church. They can knock us out of fellowship with God. But today, if your life is characterized by tough times, if this is one of those seasons of life for you where it's a struggle right now, I want you to take hope, and this message is especially for you this morning, so that you can know that you don't have to live enslaved to those circumstances, that you can break free and enjoy the things that we sang about this morning in this service, and that you can have peace in the midst of a storm. Now, if we're going to break free from tough times, we first have to embrace some tough truths about tough times. There are some things that are standard. There are some things that we must understand about tough times so that we will take those tough times in perspective and we'll understand what they're all about. The first tough truth is this, is that they're inevitable. Jesus declared to us in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have trouble. You know, what I appreciate so much about Jesus is he didn't blue sky us. You know, he didn't say that if you trust me as your Savior and if you serve me, then everything in your life is going to go smooth. Jesus was honest with you. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's inevitable. The Apostle Peter, the leader of the original 12 disciples, he said in his epistle, New Testament epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Peter says, why are you acting that way? Why are you reacting because of trial, because some tough times have visited your life? He said, remember what Jesus said? Basically, that's what he's saying. He's saying, remember that Jesus said, you will have trouble in this life. So they're inevitable. It's going to happen. Mark it down. They're also unpredictable, aren't they? You know, I hear people say all of a sudden, why now? You know, why did it have to happen now? You know, just when and now? Well, again, Jeremiah the prophet, Old Testament prophet, said in his prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20, he said, disaster follows disaster. Does it seem to be that way sometimes? Does it just seem to say it's one thing after another? And there are seasons of our life when it is exactly like that. We get through one and another one hits us and another one hits us and another one hits us. He says, in an instant my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. In other words, life is so volatile, life is so unpredictable that we can go from here to here in an hour, in a minute, in a phone call, in a doctor's report. But those times are inevitable. It's going to happen. And they're unpredictable. You're never going to know when they're going to happen. I would love to be able to plan it, but most of the time, it's just going to happen, isn't it? They're also impartial, aren't they? What Jesus say in Matthew 5:45? He says God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Well, that's really a positive statement in its context, but the reciprocal of that is true too. That sometimes the sun sets on the righteous and sometimes a drought comes to the righteous. It's impartial. Those of you who have been around here for a while know that a couple years ago, I went through a season of repeated surgeries. I had 5 surgeries over the period of about 3 years. And some of you with beautiful hearts and the purest of intentions came to me and said, "Pastor, why you? Why you, Pastor? You preach and you've served the Lord. Why would God allow this to happen?" I said, "Why not me? What's so special about me? What I know about tough times is they're inevitable, they're unpredictable, and they're impartial." But here's something else to remember. They're temporary. They're temporary. 1 Peter 1:6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs of all kinds of trials." They're temporary. The vast majority of them come and they go. They come and they go. Now, there are certain life situations that hang on. Certain debilitating illnesses. Certain relational breakups that cause consequences that will go over a lifetime. But we've got to look at it from the Lord's perspective. The vast majority of time, they're going to be temporary even here. But from God's perspective, he's thinking of eternity, not just this time, not just this life. And God says, you know what? In light of eternity, even a long-term challenge, a long-term time of trouble is a drop in the bucket. Another important consideration is that they're purposeful. Don't miss this. Tough times are inevitable. They're unpredictable. They're impartial. But they're also purposeful. 1 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He says, "These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine." You know when our faith is proved genuine? In the crucible of trouble, in the crucible of trial, in the crucible of circumstances that are not fun, that are not pleasant. See, these are times to prove our faith. These are times to prove our faith to God. You know, it's easy to praise God, and it's easy to raise our hands and sing, and it's easy to talk about other people about how great God is when everything's going good in our lives. But when God sees us responding to troubling circumstances with faith, then God knows, "I have your heart. Now I know that you believe what you sing about. Now I know that you believe what you tell other people about, what you teach your children about. Now I know that you own it too," see? Proves our faith to others. Again, we'll make our faith known, and we should make our faith known. We're so supposed to be salt and light in the world. People should know that we're believers. And when hard times, when our circumstances turn to tough times, they should see us respond in such a way that proves that Jesus Christ lives in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's those times when we live in faith, when we don't give up, when we don't curse God and die like Job's wife wanted him to do, when we stand firm with Christ, it's in those times that people see the real power and the real value of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But they also prove your faith to yourself. You know, when you look back at the circumstances that you've gone through and the hard times that you've gone through, and you've seen God come and provide for you and oftentimes provide a way out of those circumstances that can only be attributed to him. You know what? That bolsters our faith. Then we're saying, you know what? The Bible's true. All those promises that I read in the Bible are real. God really does that stuff. And then our faith is emboldened. And the next time some tough times come, they don't bother us as much. And we get through them, and maybe we're a little shaky, but the next time, tough times come, and they don't bother us as much. See, because faith is like a muscle. We go to the gym and we exercise. And tough times exercise our faith muscles, and they build them up to be strong. So whenever tough times come, instead of lamenting about them, we need to know that there's a purpose, and the chief purpose is to prove our faith. Peter ends that passage by saying, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. What's that saying? That's saying when we finally stand before Jesus Christ, when we're not just anticipating that event anymore, when it's real in our lives and we're actually doing it, because of our faith, Jesus is going to welcome us. Jesus is going to, he's going to reward us. He's going to praise us. We will share in his glory because he went through suffering faithfully too. And we underestimate how important that day is going to be and how important that experience is going to be to us. When we really see Jesus, when we really see who he is, oh my goodness, we'll long for him to say positive things about us and to praise us for our faith. What do you think Jesus is going to be most impressed with? Our service? Yeah, I think so. I think Jesus is going to reward us, and I think he's going to praise us for our service and our dedication during this life. But I think most Jesus is going to praise us and reward us for our acts of faith during times of trouble. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. No matter how hard this life gets, no matter how tough the times become, these pale in significance to what comes to us when we're finally with our heavenly Savior, if we live by faith. So, with all that in mind, how then can we break free from tough times? What practically can we do to prevent those tough times from crippling us, those tough times from pulling us down into the pool of despair? What can we do? Let me give you several quick things to do. You ready to go? You ready to break free from those tough times? All right, number one, refuse to be overwhelmed. David said in that great Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I will fear no evil. David says, I'm not going to let it knock me down. I'm not going to let it knock me off the path. I'm not going to let it impact me in a negative way. I'm going to face it. I'm going to refuse to be overwhelmed. I'm going to refuse to surrender to my circumstances. You know, I'm amazed at so many human stories. These veterans coming back from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan who have lost limbs. And their testimonies and their determination not to let that impact the rest of their life, not to be characterized, not to be identified by their victimization in war, but rising above it, and they get these prostheses and they go into Olympics and they're playing basketball and they're hunting and they're going on with life. Same with so many of those victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. You hear their stories. And see, they get it. They're saying, I will not let this circumstance characterize who I am and how I'm going to live my life. And sometimes when tough times come, we got to just get junkyard dog mad and say, I'm not going to let Satan use this to knock me off the race. We need to persevere step by step. What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not running through it. He's not trying to run away from it. He's not running in fear. He's not out of control. Adversely, he's not on his hands and knees crawling and complaining and crying, saying, oh, I don't know if I can make it. I don't. David says, I walk through that valley. I put one foot in front of the other, and I take one step at a time, and I refuse to be overwhelmed, and I will just day by day, I'll take this challenge on. I'm not going to worry about the pain of yesterday. I'm not going to dwell in the mystery of tomorrow. I'm going to face it head on today. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, who can add 1 hour to your life by worrying? Day by day, step by step, take another step, and then another step, and then another step. Take it step by step, inch by inch, life's a cinch, mile by mile, life's a trial. Embrace God's presence. This is so important. Because even as believers, even as the family of God, even as church people, we often do the exact opposite. We just go to everyone and everything else, trying to numb our pain and trying to find somebody to rescue us. And sometimes at last resort, we turn to God. How crazy is that, huh? Who's omnipotent? God is. Who's omniscient, all-knowing? God is. Who's omnipresent, everywhere at one time? God is. Who else is? No one. We need to embrace God. See, David says again, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm so disciplined, because I'm the king, because I slew Goliath, and I'm strong, and I'm a superhero. No, he says, I'm not going to fear evil because you're with me. God, I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not walking through the valley by myself. I love what the prophet Isaiah said. He's speaking the actual words of God to Israel in a time where that was very scary for them. And in Isaiah chapter 43, an Old Testament manuscript, beginning in verse 1, he says, speaking for God, God says this through that prophet. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Now, he's speaking to Israel at the time, but now God has done the same thing for us. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God not only forgives our sin, he adopts us into his family, right? And so now when he looks at you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he says, listen, you are mine. I own you. You are part of my family. You're not just a Christian. You're not just a spiritual person. You are my royal family. You are my kin. And he goes on to say for his kin, he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. He says, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I know we could say, well, that's just a lot of prophetic poetry, and it just sounds good, and it's warming. But think about it. What's he say? He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian captivity, and Pharaoh changed his mind, and he sent his army after them? They were backed up against the Red Sea. What happened? God was with them, and he parted the waters, and they went across dry land. Pharaoh's armies followed them, and they were swallowed up and drowned in the sea. Later on, they were trying, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they're ready to enter their promised land again. And now they're faced with the River Jordan. And what God did again? Some people don't know this. God parted the waters of the River Jordan again. And the waters didn't sweep them away. They walked right across, and they started conquering their land. Set you ablaze, I'll be there. Remember a story of three Jewish men in captivity in Babylon named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were what? For their faith, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, weren't they? And yet Nebuchadnezzar, that king, looking in there, he says, didn't we throw three guys in? But I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Why? Because God will always be with us. God will never abandon us. When the seas of life attempt to engulf us, when the rivers of life want to wash us away, when we feel like we've been set ablaze, God says, don't you worry, you're mine. You're mine. We need to embrace his presence. How do we do that? We do that by praising him and allowing the Holy Spirit to come alive. We do that by praying to him. We do that by reading his word and not trying to just zip through it, but really reading it for understanding and reading it, listening for the voice of God. I wish I were an eloquent enough teacher to teach you how true and how powerful just reading God's word is while listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, when I read the Bible, God speaks to me. I'm telling you, he speaks to me, not through an audible voice. It's no mystical experience. But the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And when I pray, and what's the scripture say? It says, be silent and know I'm God. Sometimes we just need to be silent in those times and let God do some talking to us. But if we reach out, he will embrace us. He will make his presence known in a powerful, dramatic way. Now, that's really important when we're breaking free from tough times. Why? Because then we can yield to God's guidance. We're not going to yield to God's guidance if we aren't listening to God, if we aren't listening for God, if we aren't doing things to embrace God, if we're panicking and we're reaching out to everyone and everything else, God won't be able to lead us through that valley. What's David say again? He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. He says, your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. See, this is the image of a shepherd of sheep. And that shepherd would have a shepherd's staff. And you've seen them in plays and you've seen them in movies. Sometimes that shepherd's staff had a crooked end, a bent end. Sometimes it had a noose around it. But that staff was used to guide those sheep to keep them from danger. If they'd start leaving the herd, he'd get over there and tap them on the side and get them to come back. If they fell into a crevice, they would take that crooked end and they would reach down and take that sheep out of the crevice. But see, they would follow the shepherd because they trusted the shepherd. And the shepherd would guide their ways. And that's what God will do during tough times. If we're embracing him, we're not surrendering to those tough times. God will speak. He will lead us. He will put ideas in our heads that never would have come from us. He will present resources to us that we would have never dreamed of. But we've got to be embracing him. We've got to be listening to him. We've got to be sensitive to his presence in our life, see? Psalm 38, 8 and 10 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Now, here's the thing. He says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. How many times, God, have I played the role of a mule? How about you? Huh? You know, we're resistant. Oh, God, oh, you know, I can't do that. No, you know. God's come over here. You got to tug on us. You got to put a bridle in our mouth because we are not willingly following him. We do not understand the value of going through the valley of the shadow of death through the guidance of God who knows the way to the other side of the valley. Psalm 32, 8, 9 says, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who what? Trust him. See, and that's the final ingredient. We got to trust God's protection. We got to trust that God really means what he says. We've got to trust that the Bible is not just a book of collections of different manuscripts that men have written over hundreds of years. We have to believe what the Bible says about itself, that it is the inspired word of God. Those authors wrote what God inspired them to write. Psalm 34, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And what? Delivers them. Now, you know, there's all this interest on TV about the paranormal. You know what? The paranormal's real. In the Old Testament, Elisha, who followed Elijah as a prophet of God in Israel. One day, Elisha wakes up and he and his servant go outside. You may recall the story. And they are surrounded by an army who is out to kill them. A wicked king has brought an army. They've hunted them down. They found out where they're at, and they're going to kill this prophet of God. And his servant responds like so many of us would, oh, we're dead. We're cooked. We're gone. This is our last day. Oh, we're... And Elisha says, God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes. And he says, when he looked around, not only was the army of the evil king there, but between them and that army was an army of angels. And that servant realized the power of God during tough times. And Elisha and his servant won the day. Psalm 37, 23, and 24, if the Lord delights in a man's way. Now, why would he delight in a man's way? Because that man, that woman is responding in faith. They're walking by faith, not by sight. It says, he makes his steps firm. says, though he stumbles, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let me tell you something. When we're going through tough times, if we respond with faith, if we refuse to be overwhelmed, if we allow God's presence to lead us, we may stumble occasionally. We're not going to get it right the whole time. We may have times where we just kind of lose it for a moment, but we come back to the formula. We come back to the plan. And in the end, God's promises, I'll not let you be destroyed. I will not let these circumstances take you out. We need to break free in tough times. How does David finish that psalm? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's his promise. Is your life characterized by a season of tough times right now? This is the formula to break free. Now, it becomes your choice. You can use it, you can claim it, you can live it, you can experience it. Or you can say, that's just all that spiritual mysticism. I'm here to tell you from personal experience that God will not fail. Let's bow our heads. How about you today? Maybe you're here and you're going through some tough times right now. Then this message from God's word today, not from me, this message from God's word is to you today. It's for you to personalize. It's for you to apply to your life. Right now, will you just get junkyard dog mad? And will you pray to God right now, God, I will not let this circumstance overwhelm me. God, help me today to take another step. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to crawl. I'm going to lift my eyes towards heaven, and I'm going to take one step at a time. I'm embracing you right now, God. I'm not embracing anything or anyone else. I'm going to pray to you, God, daily. I'm going to read your word daily. I'm going to praise you daily, and I'm going to be still and let you speak to me. And God, I'll follow wherever you lead me. Will you make that commitment right now, just with the Lord? And God, his presence will begin to well up in you, and he'll give you a new peace. He'll give you a new confidence. Remember, your experience now is inevitable. It was unpredictable. It's impartial, but it's temporary. It's purposeful. This is a chance for you to prove your faith. Father, I pray for these wonderful men and women here today. And I pray especially for those whose lives are characterized by tough times. Lord, don't allow those tough times to cripple them. Don't allow those tough times to discourage them. Don't allow the tough times to swallow them up. Lord, today, may your presence be powerful in their lives. Today, may your presence provide courage. May your presence provide promise. May your presence provide hope. God, help them to leave this place with a new determination, with a new faith, step by step, to follow you through the valley of the shadow of death. For your glory and for their spiritual growth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.